So keep that family, Kim Smith, that's her dad and stepdad, and keep them in your prayers this week. A lot of fond thoughts in my heart for Leon. Leon was always a big part of the things that we did as we started our body here. And also Tammy Ward, her mother passed this week. And so there's people that are definitely going through a lot of other things in their personal lives this week. So let's keep them in our prayers, as well as our country. I've been talking about the missing piece. Are you missing peace? And I really kind of wanted to close it out today, and I didn't really want to talk about peace with about everything that's been going on in our country. I think there's some things I needed to say, because I think we all get a little overwhelmed about things that happen in other states, things that happened in the Capitol. We get overwhelmed because what do we do about that? What's our response to that? And I think our response is really what I'm going to talk about today, indirectly and directly. So follow along with me as we do that. And so I'm going to use these same words, are you missing peace? But I'm going to ask you this today. What are you missing? Or what am I missing? What am I missing? Everybody say that with me. What am I missing? One more time. Yeah, what am I missing? I've missed so many people being here in the physical building over this last 9-10 months. I've missed that greatly here at 2800 Graham Road. I know that there's people online, and I'm so glad that you're watching, and I'm not encouraging you to come here if you can't, but I've missed it. I've missed seeing people in person in this room. This past year, wherever I go, I see people that I know that have been watching online, or maybe haven't been for a while, and they're saying, I miss church too, and I miss gathering like we used to. And I you know, think back January 2020, none of us knew what was going to be happening last year. I miss our fun, big youth group, and walking in those doors on Sunday night and seeing Patty and Diane and them taking and popping corn for 60 or 70 really unruly teens. I miss that. I miss that. I miss seeing all those things going on. I've missed our social times with all of you. I've missed raising money for missions trips. I've missed a lot of those things. There's a lot of things that God has done through us, but those are some things I've been missing. I miss summer camp. I miss the retreats that we had last year. I miss being close to people, because everybody you come in close contact with, you're worried about, am I going to get sick, or am I going to give them something? I'm not being worried, but you know, what I mean is you don't know. You don't know how to approach people. You don't know how to, you know, do they want to hug? Do they want a handshake? Do they want to stay 6.10 feet away? I don't know. You just don't know today, and I miss those things. I miss the church. I miss the church kind of as it was. But having said that, I also know that some of you have missed some things too. I have talked to so many people recently in the last couple of weeks. People are kind of starting to think about, okay, what do we do now? What do we do in light of all the things that have been going on? People, the word I hear from so many people is I'm disconnected. So many people are saying things like, I don't want to get out of my house at night. I want to go home, and I want to stay home, and I want to continue on in the habits and the path that I've been. And I find so many people who are questioning everything and everybody. Who can we trust? And who's telling us the truth? And what is going on in our nation? With our leaders and within our whichever party that you propose. I see a lot of people falling into what I would call destructive habits and bad rhythms in their families. And so many people in a form of another would say that life is not working the way that they thought it should. You know, that there's parents that are at home with their kids, and you're going, I want to be close to my kids, but I'm tired of being close to my kids. I don't want to be so close to my kids. And so that's the title of what I'm missing today is all about, because the answer is, I believe it's the church being the church. Now, I understand the church has been going on. I understand the church has been meeting and been meeting online, has been meeting as much as we can together safely and trying to do what we can do to not hurt other people. But I want to talk to you today, and I have one thought for you. Usually I have two or three, and I have one thought, and I'll tell you what that thought is here in a few minutes. I want to talk about the church today, because that's really all I know what to talk about, the church. The Greek word for church appears 107 times in the Bible. And the word is ecclesia. I'll get it here. Bob, say it real loud because I can't say it right now. My teeth are missing. Yeah, ecclesia. Thank you. Every time I said it yesterday, I practiced it 1,000 times and my tongue went right out my mouth. So there it is. Ek means out of. And then ecclesia means it's the root word calling, that we are called out, that the church is called out. What are we called out of? We're called out of the world. We're called out of darkness. We're called out to be the light, to push the light everywhere that you and I go. We are the church. We are a gathered people, whether it's in person or online. We are a gathered people, and we are strengthened, and the Bible says we are called out, and that word is what, Bob? Ecclesia. The first time that that word is mentioned in all the New Testament, it's actually mentioned by our Lord and Savior Jesus, and it's he, of course, he's the one that started it. Jesus was kind of talking to his disciples, and he gave them a pop quiz. And the pop quiz was, he said, let me ask you a question, guys. Who do people say I am? Who do people say I am? And the disciples were like, well, maybe John the Baptist and Elijah. And some say you're a Jeremiah and other prophets, important people that have been in our past. And then Jesus turned the pop quiz on Peter and he said, no, Peter, who do you say I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Messiah. You're the one we've been looking for. You are he. That's the first mention of the church, because if you look at Matthew 16, verse 18, this is what he says. This is that very conversation. On this rock, Jesus said, I will build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said, I'll build my church. It's his church. Jesus loves his church. He cares about his church. And you know, and I know you've heard it a million times, but oftentimes we don't act like it. You are the church. You are the church. It is not this place. It is not me. You are the church. Jesus said, I will build my church on what? You. I will build my church on you. Not on some pastor, not on some gathering. I will build it on you. I will build my church on you. Now, today I want to take some liberties. I probably have never done this, but I want to take scripture and I'm going to insert a couple different words where it doesn't say it. And I want to, it's really the whole part of my lesson. And I tell you this because I kind of stole this idea off a guy named Louis Gigliano. Do you know Louis? Have you ever listened to him? He has the Passion Church. He has a translation called the Passion Translation. And I love the Passion Translation. I wouldn't teach out of it all the time, but today I want to use it. And he uses a version today out of the Passion Translation, out of the Proverbs 31. Now, if you know anything about Proverbs 31, you can turn there in whatever version you have, but it's not going to line up. But I'm reading out of the Passion version, okay? I want to say that again, and I'm going to change two words. I'm being very careful here because the Bible says be careful about what you do with the word. But I think I can get away with this today. There's 22 verses that talk about in Proverbs 31, the godly wife, the godly wife. And we need to know, as you read the Bible, the scripture always points to Jesus. All through the Old Testament, as Bob has taught and I've taught many times before, it's important to understand that Jesus is all through the Old Testament. And you can see bits and pieces of who Jesus is inserted into all the Old Testament scriptures. And today I'm going to take a little liberty and I'm going to insert something into here, and we'll get there before you say, well, Jeff, get to it. What are you talking about? But here's what I want to say. If you look at the Passion Translation and you take, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a metaphor. A metaphor means about the church. We're going to talk about and replace two words in this Proverbs 31 passage. When we look at the word husband, in this passage, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the word Jesus, okay? I'm going to put the word Jesus. So every time you see the word husband on your version or up on the screen, I'm talking about the word Jesus, okay? The husband Jesus. As perhaps the husband, I do believe, represents who Jesus is. And anytime we see the godly woman in the Bible, I'm going to put, instead of that, I'm going to put the bride of Christ, the church. I'm going to put the church, you and me, you and me. So if you see the word husband, it's Jesus. If you see the word woman, it's you and me, the church, the bride of Christ. And so let me demonstrate what I'm going to do for you now. We're going to start in verse 10. And this is what the real text says in the Passion Translation. It says, who can find a wife like this one? She is a woman of strength and mighty value. She's full of wealth and wisdom. The price paid for her was greater than many jewels. Now, here's how I would edit it. You can see in the parentheses. Here's how I put it up on your outline up here today. Verse 10. Who could ever find a church like this one? Christ's church is full of strength and mighty valor. Does that do anything to you a little bit emotionally today? It should. It should, because that's who you are. Let me read that again. Who could ever find a church like this one? Christ's church is full of strength and mighty valor. The church is full of wealth and wisdom. The price paid for the church was greater than many jewels. Then look at verse 13 and 14. The church searches out continually to possess that which is pure and righteous. The church gives out revelation and truth to feed others. The church tastes and experiences a better substance, and her shining light will not be extinguished. So no matter how dark the night, she, the church, is known by her extravagant generosity to the poor, for she always reaches out her hands to those who are in need. Her husband, Jesus, is famous and admired by all. Even her works of righteousness she does for the benefit of her enemies. I edited this next part, but you'll see what I did here. And those of you on social platforms, those of you that live your life through those types of things, listen, popularity can be, this is how I edit it, popularity can be misleading. Followers, wealth, godly and worldly clout is vain and so quickly fades. But the church, you, the bride of Christ, lives in wonder, awe, and fear of the Lord. She will be praised throughout all eternity. Who? The church. You. Now, I want you to take my plagiarism a little bit of these two words, or my inserting these two words and changing that to really feel what God wants to say to you today. The Proverbs 31 woman is a metaphor of the bride of Christ. I hope that connects with you emotionally today and shows you how much you are valued by God. The bride of Christ. You are the bride of Christ. Jesus said that. And he said, I will build my church. I will build my church, and it's you. You are my church. Everywhere you are my church. He made this wonderful promise. So you say, thank you, Jeff. That was really nice. I don't really understand where you're going with this. What do you want to do? What do you want me to walk out of here with today? I want you with my question. What am I missing? I think you're missing, some of you, that you're the church. That you're the church. Maybe you look at your life today and you walked in here or you're at home and your life is not going anything like what I just talked about. Some of you feel so disconnected. Some of you feel you would have what I would call depression going on. Some of you are angry. You're alone. You feel trapped, hopeless, desperate. What's missing from your life? Maybe it's the church. And you know what else? The church is missing you. Because your problem, the thing that you're missing, maybe the person across the room is the answer to your problem. They're the hands and they're the feet of your problem. And you're not doing it because you're all in this little bubble and you're all up in yourself and you're all thinking about how you're feeling and how you're doing and what's going on in your world. You're not thinking about anybody else. Jesus said, church, I will build my church, you, and I want to shift in a change in not just in words today, but a mindset that you have got to get a hold of this morning here. And please hear me when I tell you this. This is not just a play of words. I didn't just take two words and switch them. It's a big deal to do that. I understand that. But I want you to understand this. If you go to church, if you just go to church, you know what? You can leave a church. The church is not a destination. The church is an identity. It's who you are. Who am I? I am the church. We are the church. And the reason you're here is for somebody else. The reason you're here, if I say the world, that's too big. You go, I can't do anything about that. But if I say you're here for somebody else, then you start to understand. If you're not doing what God has called you to do for somebody else, you're letting the church down. You are the church. And if you're not doing something because you're scared or because you're depressed, because you don't think you can do it, then you don't understand who you are. We're the church, and we are here for the world. The first time that Jesus mentions the church, he said this. He said, I will build my church. I will build my church. He didn't say, I'm going to build my church and I'm going to take care of widows. He didn't say, I'm going to build the hub and I'm going to pass out food and I'm going to pass out clothes and I'm going to pray for people. He said, I will build my church. He didn't say any of those things. He didn't say, I'm going to build my church and there's going to be peace on earth, because there really hasn't been peace on earth ever. He said, I came to bring you peace. But he didn't. He said, I'm building my church. I'm building my church, and you is who I'm building. What he said was, I'll build my church. I'll get this. I'm building my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hell will not come against it. Right now, all hell is coming against the church. Who? It's coming against you. That's the whole point of my lesson today. In other words, when Jesus talks about the church, he's telling the church, hey, church, we're in a war, and you need to get engaged. More than your mouth, more than your post, more than the things that you are a part of in this world, you've got to put your heart and say, God, what it is you want me to do and say and be today. Maybe the last year you've been thinking, man, it's crazy. And I ask you, are you engaged in the war? Are you engaged in the war? Or is the war just beating the tar out of you? I say that to tell you a story that came to my mind when I was thinking about this that I could help you understand what I'm talking about today. When I was in high school, I was a big fella. I always have been a big guy. And I was pretty much an athlete. I'm not bragging. I was pretty okay. I wasn't the best, but I wasn't the worst. And I was not too many people fiddled with Jeff Sauters. They just didn't. And I went to a particular party. One of my friends invited me to party, and I knew if I went to that party, bad things were going to happen because there was stuff going on there. That I'm like, but I went. Okay, it tells you a little bit about my mindset. And I go to the party, and as I get to the party, this guy comes up to me. And it's a guy that I thought was my friend. I believed he was my friend. And he comes up to me, and he kind of, I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting by the punch that everybody has brought. And as he comes up to me, and he takes his hands, and he pushes me. And he goes, hey. And I drop my drink, and I'm like, whoa, that's odd. And he's just saying, hey. And so we'll let it go. So I did the next best thing that a 17-year-old kid would do. I go, hey, pushed him, you know, and see him. I walked away. I started to go, and pretty soon he came over, and he grabs him by the head, and he gets me in a headlock. And I'm like, why would he do this? He knows I can beat the tar out of him. Why? And he's like really pressing. And I'm like, well, he's just saying, hey. And so I'm, okay. So I break out of it, and I get him in the headlock, and I start giving him a noogie. Well, that makes him really mad. So he backs up against the wall, and he comes running at me and just pounds me against the wall. I remember picking myself up off that wall thinking, oh, I get it. We're not doing a friend thing here. This guy's really upset. He's really mad. Because to that point, I mean, that's what boys did. We punched on each other. We hit on each other. We screwed around. We just beat the tar out of each other. That's what you did. So I'm thinking, we're just being friends. But at that point, something went through my mind. And the thing that went through my mind was, we're at war. I'm at war with this guy right now. So I took care of business very quickly. That's not the moral of the story. The moral of the story is this. The moral of the story is this. Listen, it's not that I took care of this guy, and he's not just being a buddy. Some of you would need to be wise this morning and recognize that you're being attacked, and you're being attacked daily, and there is a mission to kill, steal, and destroy everything you have, not just your peace, but your joy, not just your joy, but your patience, not just your anything that you thought you had a handle on is going to come against you right now. Because you're at war. And you need to do well to understand this morning, what are you missing? And it is this. You are at war with the powers of the dark. And they are going to do whatever they can to mess up your family, to mess up your relationships, to mess up anything in your life that you thought that you had a handle on coming into January 2020. Because most of you thought, and you could come to church and you could you know, come once in a while, come once every 8 weeks, come once every 10 weeks, and you crossed off your list. It was all good. But I'm telling you, it's not attendance, but that's not going to cut it anymore on a relationship with God. It is not going to cut it anymore. Some of the things that you've been doing to just get through the day. Because you're at war. And whether you know it or not, whether you know it or not, there is a battle raging around you. And it's not against flesh and blood. It is not against flesh and blood. And you have got to do well these next days and weeks ahead to anytime you get ready to say something, anytime you get ready to post something, anytime you need to pray and say, God, is this gonna take the battle and shine the light, or is this gonna pour gas onto what's going on in this world around us? You see, your kids are not the battle. You know, they may be really little bunch of little problems, and they're just causing you all kinds of issues, but they're not the battle. Your husband may be this person that yells at you and screams at you. He's not the battle. He's not the battle. The battle is the spiritual stuff behind all of that. Our battle is against dark forces. Our battle is against something that we are called to be light in this dark, dark world, to be a force of love, to push back the kingdom of darkness. Listen to me. What are you missing? What are you missing? I want to say to you today, it's the fact that you don't know that you're the church, that you somehow think that this is the church, that this right here is the church, and it's not. It's not. Maybe the church is missing you. That's really what I want to hit some of you today. Because as I talked about last week, and I don't apologize for it, too many of you are sitting on your hind end. I called it your assets last week. You're sitting on your assets, and you're not doing it. And what you're doing is you're missing the chance to help somebody else that's sitting around you that you don't even know. Which means you've got to engage with other people and know you've got to be in other people's lives. I know it's been tough to do that recently. I understand that. But I think it's time that we find ways to get in and be that kind of church to people in our lives. I encourage you. I'm not talking about anything physical here. I'm not talking about going and fighting a battle. I'm not talking about getting out your guns. I'm not talking about any of that right now. I'm talking about a spiritual battle that a lot of you are not aware of, and you're not fighting, and you're just getting the ding-dang tar beat out of you, and you're wondering, why is it that this is going on? Why am I feeling this? Why am I feeling this oppression? Why am I feeling this daily yuck? It's because you don't understand you're the church and you can push back. You are the light. You have the light. He who lives in you is greater than he who lives in this world. But you can't do it alone. You need other people to do this. And that's why we're going to do our best to get back really soon, the next couple weeks, to get our groups together. We're going to form some new groups. We're going to do some things like that. We need you to get back in. And you say, well, I'm not going to go to a group. Okay, then start your own. Start your own group and start praying and start studying and doing whatever it is that God wants you to do in your life. But do something. Do something. Quit waiting for somebody else to make you feel better, because nobody else is going to do that. You are the church. You have a responsibility to shine the light in the darkness. You have spiritual gifts, every one of you. You are the body. You are part of the body of Christ. And even though you may be just a toe, you're a toe that's keeping up the church. And the church needs you, and you need the church. One of the best ways you can be like God is when you give of your time, when you give of yourself, and you give of your treasure. And you need to, as this new year starts, you need to give of yourself in those kinds of ways. When's the last time you ever asked anybody to come to church physically with you? When's the last time here's a simple way. You all can host online what we do here. Get on your devices at home and host this online. Share it to your friends. Start there. Okay, that's simple. Share it with your friends. Because I don't believe you understand that it's your job to do these things. I believe you think it must be the church, me. I don't know who you think, but it is your job to be the church. You are the church. You are the church. As a church in a war, I'm calling you to wake up today. To wake up to a search and rescue mentality. There are people that are falling apart, literally. Talk to any Christian counselor right now. You can't even get in to see a counselor. People are or any counselor. You can't, when do you want in 22? I'll get you in. I'll see if I can slot you in. People are falling apart all around us. Don't be surprised about it, because some of you are having these same thoughts. Some of you are having the same things that I'm talking about, and you're sitting there and you're not doing anything about it. And the first thing you can do today is can you shut that off, whoever that is? Thank you so much. The first thing you can do today is to understand that you have got to be more proactive and be the church. Be the church wherever you are. We are ambassadors of God to help people be reconciled to God. That's our mission. We're bringing people back to God. To people, the reason people are the way they are is because they feel so far away from God. The reason some of you have some days you're so far away from God is because you are far away from God. You're not trusting Him. You're listening and you're getting on these platforms, and everything that's going on there, it raises your ear inside, and you're bubbling, and what do I do? And there's nothing you can do about that. But you can be light wherever you go, whatever you do. See, the church doesn't exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. So come on, church. How about today? January 10th, you start getting a little bit more of a clue and saying, you know what? I got to figure this out. Okay, you don't totally, you're not going to jump on board. I get it. But how about you pray about what I just said this week and say, how can I be the church? Because I put a couple questions up here on the back. If you could go back or go to the end there, please. How is God calling you to be the church? Church, how is God calling you to be the church this year? This week, today, and maybe this morning. How is God calling you to be the church? Maybe it's the first thing is you've got to recommit your life. The first point of any step is repentance and saying, God, I'm sorry that I've not relied on you. And that's where some of us are. Some of us have made this all about ourselves, about our pain, about our problems, about our stuff. And in essence, what we've done is we've not trusted the Lord to be who He said He would be. How are you going to be the church? Ephesians 5:20 says this. I'm sorry, 3:20. You can go back to that now. 3:20. Paul said in Ephesians, now to Him is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask, think, or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, within you, within you, within you, within you, within you, within you. Where is it? Yeah. The bride of Christ through all generations, forever and ever, amen. The power is in you. You've got to seek to figure out a way to let God bring that light out of you, that power out of you, and permeate those around. Light is always, 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 always stronger than the dark. Let's pray as the band comes. God, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You for a picture of the Proverbs 31 woman. But God, today we look at it as we know that You were also just talking about the church. You were talking about us, about how much You value us, and about our position and our place and our priorities, God, that we're supposed to get a hold of in this world. God, help us to be the church and to stop just going to church. Help us to be the church, not just stopping watching online. God, it's so easy to open up a screen. And I'm glad we've got that technology, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But God, we are going places. We're doing stuff every day. Every one of us are getting out of our houses. Every one of us are moving around to other places. Let us be light in a dark, dark, dark world. God, that's what we can do about everything that's going on right now. That's where we begin. What are we missing? The church. The church is missing you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. During our ministry time today, as the lights go down, I'd like you just to think about what it is that maybe God is calling you to be today. Not to do. Don't go home and make a list of do things. Make a list of be things. Things he wants you to be. He wants me to be in the Word. He wants me to be in prayer. Get those things squared away first. Once those things are squared away, God will show you where and how to use your hands, how to use your pocketbook, how to use your mouth, how to use your brain. He'll show you. If you need prayer today, there's someone standing in the corner right back there in the back. See what the Lord does today through you.